answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The United States and Iran are now settling a long-standing Iranian government claim against the United States government. Iran will be returned its own funds, including appropriate interest, but much less than the amount Iran sought. For the United States, this settlement could save us billions of dollars that could have been pursued by Iran, so there was no benefit to the United States in dragging this out.
But we didn't have to just give the money to Iran. Obama chose to do so. He had supposedly an agreement with Iran that they would not build a nuclear weapon on his watch. That was in the close of his administration, so he wasn't going to be around that much longer anyway. But with Obama, he transferred $1.7 billion in cash to Iran in an overnight shipment on a cargo plane, pallets of foreign currencies, various denominations, and various currencies, so they could be easily distributed throughout the terrorist network of Iran. And of course, the money they could also use to help continue to build and step up their effort to create a nuclear device, a weapon. At the same day that the initial $400 million was delivered in 2016, Iran released four American prisoners. Now, Obama insisted this is not a ransom. This is their money. The negotiations are separate. We're simply giving them the money back that they have coming, because after they seized our embassy, we seized a lot of their assets in the U.S. and their monies. And they were going to go to, quote, the world court and probably get a ruling against us. My reaction is, go right ahead. I don't give a damn what the world court says. We're not going to give them that money. But Obama did. And you have to know and understand, or you have to be a fool not to, how much of that money was used to weaponize Iran and its terrorist cells to kill Jews, Americans, anyone they wanted dead. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA, March 9, 2026. And I remind you that when you're on with Larry Connors, USA, you are going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more knowledge than you had when we began. Did you miss the previous hour, our story behind the story today, the story of the Hell's Angels? Well, then you need to pull it up and listen to it. Pull up the podcast. How do you get that? Well, there are a lot of ways to do it. Audio or video through Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. It's a fascinating story. And I will tell you right now, you will learn some things about the Hell's Angels you did not know. We do that every day. We bring material and information to you that you're not going to hear or see anywhere else. You might have heard about it at some point, but you don't know that much about it. And our story of the story behind the story, has become a very popular feature of the 6 o'clock hour. So I encourage you to continue to listen and watch it. In fact, when I look at the numbers on our Rumble streams and others, I can tell that more folks are joining, mainly just because of that, possibly. But I think once you're a member of the Larry Connors USA program, you're always going to be a member, and I thank you for that. We have a new leader in Iran. No surprise, but here it is as announced by Trey Yates of Fox News.
Iran's assembly of experts has chosen a new supreme leader, Mostaba Khamenei, the son of Iran's former supreme leader who was killed in the opening strikes of Operation Epic Fury. Mostaba Khamenei is a hardliner who has a history of ties to the IRGC and besieged forces. He was the gatekeeper for his father and widely known as the Shadow Prince. A number of civilians and residents in Tehran reacting to the news overnight saying this.
After an entire week of waiting, and of course the shock of the passing of Ayatollah Khamenei inflicted on the society, we are very glad that now the leader has been selected. Now we are sure that the path will continue with his leadership.
The Israelis continuing their strikes against the Iranian regime, targeting a number of positions in and around Tehran, besieged headquarters and other missile launching positions used to threaten their country. And over the weekend, we saw those apocalyptic images of smoke and flames rising from the skyline in Tehran. Four different oil facilities hit this weekend in Israeli strikes across the Iranian capital.
Yeah, the video that was shown out of Tehran as they hit the oil refineries on the outskirts of Tehran, they were massive explosions. It looked as if the sun had risen over that part of Tehran in the dead of night. And we're not done. We will continue to go after them. When they appointed the son of Khomeini, it was not that unexpected. But various television news anchors refer to him as a mid-level cleric. In other words, he has no real standing other than he's the son. And there are reports that he has already been wounded. It's not very clear how. He has yet to be seen since all the conflict began. And in fact, he's barely been seen at all during his life. And over the weekend, there were thousands and thousands in the streets of Tehran, marching, protesting, shouting against the Iran regime. And there were numerous deaths. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard, again, killing many of them, grabbing many of them. I cannot tell you, and for us to even imagine, the courage it takes to go into the streets demanding that the dictator like that be overthrown, and you don't have any weapons whatsoever, other than maybe a rock. And by that, I don't mean the nation. Iraq. Now, UN Ambassador Walz had said, we look at what we're achieving as our nation deals with Iran, and we have a reason to be thankful.
Well, I'll tell you, the military objectives and achievements a week in are truly extraordinary, as the president has effectively laid out. Iran's air force destroyed. Iran's air defenses destroyed and almost completely degraded. Its navy sunk. Over 40 ships sitting at the bottom of the ocean. And importantly, their ability to produce these ballistic missiles and these drones with which they've been terrorizing Israel, their neighbors in the Gulf, providing to Russia and using against Ukraine, is also being severely degraded. So the military, our great Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, Secretary Rubio, and others are laying out the case in terms of how we are going to protect the American people and eliminate this threat once and for all.
And in fact, coming up in our next segment, I want you to hear from Marco Rubio, from 2015 as a senator saying, if we do not deal with Iran now, that was 2015, we would have what we see going on in our face right now. There have been reports throughout the day that Trump is weighing options that would include putting special operations forces into Iran, boots on the ground. I am opposed to boots on the ground inside Iran itself. But if some of the islands off the coast are available, or if we're going in a special strike task force, I have to leave it to those who have more knowledge and intel. If they can locate, secure, or destroy what enriched uranium stockpiles are still there, that's what they would be doing. And for UN Ambassador Walz, he said, it's sad that once again we're facing this situation.
I can tell you as a veteran, it breaks my heart in so many ways that we have had to deal with this threat across the Middle East for 47 years. And I want to be clear, the Iranian regime started this war in 1979 under Jimmy Carter. And thank God for President Trump, he's taking the bold, decisive action that so many of his predecessors have failed to do, to end it and to end this threat to the American people and our allies once and for all.
Yeah. And they know it. And you know who else knows it? Khomeini's son, the one that's now been appointed the leader. That's not a position you want, really. That just makes you a big target. And Trump has already said he won't last long. Now, if you remember, Obama, when he was in office, insisted that he was keeping Iran in check. Biden made the same claim later. It was a lie. Every day yet they told it. While Iran kept building its nuclear capability and ballistic missiles.
Clear. We will not allow Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon.
If I'm the president, we will attack Iran. Whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would be able to totally obliterate them. That's a terrible thing to say, but those people who run Iran need to understand that.
Make no mistake, a nuclear-armed Iran is not a challenge that can be contained. It would threaten the elimination of Israel, the security of Gulf nations, and the stability of the global economy. It risks triggering a nuclear arms race in the region and the unraveling of the non-proliferation treaty. That's why a coalition of countries is holding the Iranian government accountable. And that's why the United States will do what we must to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon.
As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will not get a nuclear weapon. I made that clear when I came into office.
And look, I mean, Iran has American blood on their hands, okay? And what we saw in terms of just this attack on Israel, 200 ballistic missiles, what we need to do to ensure that Iran never achieves the ability to be a nuclear power, that is one of my highest priorities.
Yeah. But it wasn't. And when you heard when you heard Obama say, we need to make sure they would never get it, they will not get it because we have this agreement. The agreement was worthless. It was so worthless, he could not even put it before the U.S. Senate for it to be signed off, ratified as a treaty by our Senate. He knew it would not go through. So he simply, with his pen, marked, this is an agreement. And other nations were in on it. Not Israel. Because Israel has a lot more at stake. This is not just a threat to them. This is their existence. I want you to hear from an Iranian citizen as to what they feel now, watching what is happening, where they have been, and where they hope they're going to go.
I have an update from inside Iran for those who are genuinely worried about people. Our only real concern right now is the regime itself, the malfunctioning of their made-in-China missiles and their ongoing use of people as human shields. And how do we know about this human shield thing? In 2020, the regime fired two missiles at a passenger plane full of Iranians and children near Tehran, right after attacking a U.S. base in Iraq. They expected Trump to hit back hard, so they could play the victim card. But Trump didn't retaliate, and they miscalculated. And we Iranians learned in a very painful way what this regime is capable of. This regime is a cancerous tumor, and at this point, the only option is an invasive surgery. Please be patient, stay hopeful, and pray for the American and Israeli heroes, and for my people to stay safe and pass this storm. Please share this video as much as you can with your friends, because, as I said, you can't trust mainstream media on this topic anymore.
No, you can't. And you cannot trust that if they are not displaced, and the Iranian people have their say, they want to go back to where they were in 1979. They were more westernized. They did not chant hate to America or death to America. And then when they overtook our embassy and the Ayatollah became the leader, religious leader and government leader, everything changed. Hey, they've been living under this all this time. When we come back, I want you to hear how Alabama Senator Tuberville identifies Iranian women and what they are subjected to. And so for those of you on the left that think, well, Iran's not that bad, you're deluding yourself. And especially if you're a woman, and especially if you're gay. And also you'll hear from Marco Rubio, a forecast prediction years ago, now a fact. We have more to come. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Previously, I've told you about dustless blasting, a special service offered by Wellington Environmental. It could work for you in your place. Recently, a crew removed a driveway sealer that had failed. The owner wanted to go back to the original concrete so it could be properly sealed. Dustless blasting worked. That homeowner is happy. Now, sometimes surfaces need pressure washing instead of blasting. In fact, there was an exterior stone fireplace cleansed by pressure washing. And when it dried, all the dark stain was gone. That stone had its original appearance. Wellington is versatile with blasting. Dustless blasting or whatever you need. They will evaluate and make a decision. How do you get them to your door? Very easy. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, making your world great. In fact, be safe, be well with Wellington Environmental. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie. And I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I do want to be recorded for history's purposes before I know what was going to happen in regards to this if it goes through. Iran will immediately use the money that it's receiving in sanctions relief to begin to build up its conventional capabilities. It will establish the most dominant military power in the region outside of the United States, and it will raise the price of us operating in the region. They're going to build anti-access capabilities, rockets capable of destroying our aircraft carriers and ships. Continue to build these swift boats that are able to come on us, these fast boats that are able to swarm our naval assets. And they'll make it harder and harder for U.S. troops to be in the region. They'll also work with other terrorist groups in the region to target American servicemen and women. And they may or may not deny that they're involved, but they will target us and raise the price of our presence in the Middle East until they hope to completely pull us out of that region. They'll also continue to build long-range missiles, missiles capable of reaching the United States. Those are not affected by this deal, and they'll continue to build them as they've been doing. And then at some point in the near future, when the time is right, they will build a nuclear weapon. And they will do so because at that point they will know that they have become immune, that we will no longer be able to strike their nuclear program because the price of doing so will be too high.
That is Senator Marco Rubio in Florida, explaining exactly what will happen with the, quote, peace deal that Obama had signed with the Iranians and was in turn, as we said earlier, going to send money to them. Money in an unmarked cargo plane, foreign currencies, small denominations, so it could be spread all across the Mideast. Include Swiss francs and euros and everything else. 400 million dollars delivered January 2016. And Obama said again, we have to do this because it's money we confiscated from them and assets we confiscated after they stormed our embassy in 1979. And that they are going to go to the world court and demand it be given back, and we'd have to probably pay more. Well, then why would you simply agree to pay anything? Let them fight for it. And if they won in the world court, you appeal or ignore it. Because if they were ordered to pay it to the U.S., do you think they would have paid anything? But Marco Rubio was pointing out exactly how this money was going to be used. Again, that was in 2015, while Obama was running around pushing this, I have a great peace deal going on here. Iran will not build any more nuclear materials for weapons, only for improving the lives of their people. A lie. The one thing Obama said was correct. They will not have a nuclear weapon during my administration. Because he wasn't going to be in power that much longer. But he was going to leave a ticking time bomb. And we have seen it. And we've seen what they've done with that money. not only for terrorist activities across the world, but continuing to build up their uranium enrichment program. Rubio warned of all of this. On one hand, yet say it, no surprise, but he said, I want to go on record for this. I want to be on record that I said this, and this is what's going to happen. And he nailed it because he knew exactly what the Iranians would do. They never had any intent to play by the rules. Part of the agreement they were going to accept is that they would allow members of the UN International Atomic Energy Commission to come in unannounced into Iran and go anywhere they want, see anything they want, to verify that we're not building nuclear weapons. We're just building nuclear facilities so we can help our people. But the UN Commission never got into Iran without, obviously, they knew they were coming, and they never got to go see places they wanted to. And yet they turned in a report saying everything looks good. The Iranians wrote the damn report. This money, all part of the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, the JCPOA, also lifted sanctions against Iran. Again, a lot of its foreign assets that we had frozen. $50 billion to $100 billion now suddenly given back to them. In addition to the $1.7 billion the Obama administration was going to give them. Once again, the words, as true as they were in 2015, from Florida Senator Rubio.
He has an religious apocalyptic vision of the future, one that calls for triggering a conflict between the non-Muslim world and the Muslim world, one that he feels especially obligated to trigger. And he's going to possess nuclear weapons. This is the world that we are on the verge of leaving our children to inherit. And perhaps we ourselves will have to share in it. And so I want to be recorded for history's purposes, if nothing else, to say that those of us who opposed this deal understood where it would lead. And we are making a terrible mistake. But here's the good news. Iran may have a supreme leader, but America does not. In this nation, we have a republic. And soon we will have new leaders, perhaps in this chamber, but also in the executive branch. And I pray that on their first day in office, they will reverse this deal and reimpose the sanctions and back them up with a credible threat of military force, or history will condemn us for not doing what needed to be done at this critical moment in the world's history.
And thank God Trump came in and Hillary did not follow Obama. I don't know if you've been following it, but the Iran nation did put together a women's soccer team to go to Australia and participate in the Women's Asian Cup, now being held in several cities across Australia. Five members of that team are now safely under the protection of the Australian government, after President Trump strongly urged that they get asylum. They lost their first game to South Korea, and then when the playing of the Iranian national anthem was being played, several of the team members refused to sing, which runs contrary to rules Iran imposes on its players. If you're going to play for Iran, you must sing our song. I'd like to think Americans would do that without being told. Unfortunately, many don't. And some of the women said we were threatened. So now we must be singing. The third game, they not only sang the anthem, but delivered a smart military salute at the end. But then as they were on their buses leaving, many of them were signaling SOS signs. So they have been kept in Australia, given asylum, because they know if they went back to Iran, what would happen to them? And they had to worry about their families. Those of you who think Iran is such a great nation and means no harm, look at what they do to their people, especially women. Alabama Senator Tuberville.
You know, in America, women are allowed to dress, go to school, work, and marry whoever they like. Iran used to be like this, too, before they were taken over by radical Islamists in 1979. This is them post-1979. Sadly, under the sick leadership of these terrorists, women are treated like dogs. Do you hear that? Women are treated like dogs. They are forced to cover every part of their body, of their skin except their eyes. They aren't allowed to leave home unless they're with a male escort. They aren't allowed to get an education or work a job. And they aren't forced, and they are forced sometimes to marry young as 6 years old. Pedophilia and inbreeding are rampant.
Yeah.
And women are lucky if they are allowed to drive. Hell, we have a U.S. congresswoman from one of these third world Muslim countries who is married to her brother.
Mm-hmm.
Where are all my Democrat colleagues who claim to be feminist?
Yeah. Where are they when Trump is commenting that if these women on the Iranian soccer team are sent back to Iran, they will be executed? Where was the cry from the left that do not let these women be sent back to be executed? I have not heard one leftist, not one, step forward and defend these women. They are totally lost. Over the weekend, there was a eulogy for Jesse Jackson Jr., the Reverend Jackson. His son was very distressed as to what Biden, Obama, and even Harris had to say.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation, if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. Finally, March, the season of fresh starts, more daylight, more energy. A perfect time to take a fresh look at your home. Your windows or doors are outdated and efficient? Check with Renewal by Anderson. From your first design consultation through final installation, every detail is handled by one experienced, dedicated team. Clear communication, precise craftsmanship. Renewal by Anderson windows built with our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl. And right now, during our March savings event, take $400 off every window, $800 off every door, and get a free upgrade to Smart Sun Glass. No money down, no payments, no interest for 12 months. But this ends March 31st. Call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS, or visit rbastl.com. RBASTL.com. Superior products, exceptional service. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
In a time when it can be hard to hope. Each day we wake up to some new assault on our democratic institutions. Another setback to the idea of the rule of law. An offense to common decency. Every day you wake up to things you just didn't think were possible. Each day we're told by those in high office to fear each other and to turn on each other, and that some Americans count more than others, and that some don't even count at all.
That was Obama over the weekend, supposedly giving a eulogy at the funeral service for Reverend Jesse Jackson. I didn't even hear Jesse Jackson's name in that. Did you? Not one time. He used the pulpit to attack Trump. He was there to give a eulogy for Jackson. And I'm sure there's some other parts of it that I'm not playing for you, but where he went on about how great Jackson was. And so I'm not going to deny that. But when I tell you in a moment who's really upset over it, you'll understand it's not just my viewpoint. But here you are to give a eulogy and you want to turn it into a political posturing statement, a political attack upon Trump, because you think you're surrounded by folks that they hate Trump and they love you. Obama is overestimating how much they love him right now. And I've got a survey I want to share with you before we wrap up this hour that is very enlightening as to where Trump stands compared to several others, including the Pope. But back to the eulogy service. Again, this was meant to be a eulogy for Jesse Jackson. Three presidents showed up. You heard Obama, Biden, Bill Clinton. Reverend Jesse Jackson, Jr., I met him a few times. I met him in Atlanta, as a matter of fact, when he was running for the Democrat nomination, pushing his Rainbow Push Coalition, headquartered in Chicago at this point. He was very much an activist, and I never saw anything where he praised Trump. I don't really recall anything where he's denounced him, but that aside, what took place at the eulogy service the other day was not a eulogy for Reverend Jesse Jackson. Oh, and VP Harris, for some reason, got invited, and she turned it into one of her stupid giggles.
You know, so let me just say, I predicted a lot about what's happening right now. I'm not into saying I told you so, but we did see it coming. But what I did not predict is that we would not have Jesse Jackson with us right now to help us get through this.
She salvaged it at the end, did she? By at least including Jesse Jackson. But she was all about, what can I do to get a laughing, get a rousing crowd? Because we all hate Trump. That's why we're here. My God, I would have expected Reverend Jesse Jackson to rise up and take the podium himself and denounce Trump the way they were talking about him. Larry, you are over the top. You have gone too far. Have I now? Clinton and Biden also spoke. And again, they talked about not Jesse Jackson, Jr., I mean Jesse Jackson, Reverend Jackson, they spoke primarily political stances and remarks. And I want you to hear from someone who had a real understanding of what was at stake. Jesse Jackson Jr. is an American former politician from Illinois, as you well know. And he said, well, let me hear it. You hear it directly from him.
Yesterday, I listened for several hours of three United States presidents who do not know Jesse Jackson.
He was pointing out they were grandstanding for themselves, not in honoring his father, not offering a eulogy for his father, using their, quote, eulogies to bash Trump, his policies, his vision for America. I have to give him credit for calling them out. You were invited here to sing the praises of my father and what he's accomplished. And they did do some of that. But in the midst of it, what struck me and what struck Jesse Jackson's son is they were more intent on what kind of political chips can I collect here by bashing Trump? Because this audience obviously would hate Trump. I got a survey coming up talking about how much Trump is or is not hated. But when Reverend Jesse Jackson's son rips both into Biden, Obama, and Clinton for using his father's memorial service to take shots at President Trump, politics is low and dirty. But my God, could you not keep your mouth shut on those points at that time? You have a dear friend who passes away. A really true friend. And you go to the service. And you see his brother. You despise, you hate, and has done you wrong, you and your family. Are you going to use the funeral service of your friend to accost and claim that his brother was a worthless piece of crap? Or are you just going to hold your tongue, trying to be civil? These folks are so filled with hate for Trump and for America, they take any opportunity, even a funeral eulogy service. I do want you to hear what a member of the legacy media has pointed out, recognizing what Trump does that Obama, Biden, and other leftists simply don't do.
I've covered five different presidents. I have never seen one other than Donald Trump who regularly takes phone calls from reporters. So I thought I would talk a little bit about that. I've spoken to him over the phone three times since the military operation, the war against Iran started. In each of those cases, I simply called him and he answered. Some of the conversations are short. Some of them can be quite lengthy. I talked to him today during the middle of the afternoon, and the call lasted for about 20 minutes.
That's Jonathan Carl, ABC News, talking about how transparent Trump is and more than willing to talk when he can to any reporter at any time. There's an NBC survey conducted from the 27th of Feb to March 3rd, surveying 1,000 registered voters nationally. These are registered voters. And Trump's positive rating was outstanding. More popular than his fiercest critics, including CBS late-night show host Stephen Colbert. Oh, Colbert thought he was the cat's meow, did he not? Cat's about to be put out in the alley. California Governor Newsom. Oh, and giggly Vice President Kamala Harris. And then AOC of New York. Iran, artificial intelligence, and Governor Newsom were the least popular subjects polled with positive ratings. The least popular. When it came to positive ratings, out of 14 different, not just people, but events, the Republican Party, ICE, immigration, AI, Democrat Party, Iran got 8% positive, Democrat Party got 30%, Republican Party 37%, AOC got 31%, Sanctuary Cities 33%, Stephen Colbert 35%, Donald Trump 41% favorable rating. He was second only to Pope Leo XIV. So the Pope is the most popular figure out of those 14 I was listing. Of course, he's not going to be running for president. And apparently neither is ESPN commentator Stephen A. Smith. He's made his final decision. He does sports, have been hinting at a possible run for the White House as a Democrat for at least 2 years. In fact, just the other day, he's saying the Democrat Party needs a new leader. They have walked away from everybody. They're pushing fringe elements, which the American people don't want. We need new leadership. But he's decided, I'm not going to run. He said, basically, when I looked at it because of the money I'd had to give up, I'm not going to run. Well, you got to give the guy credit. He makes something like $40 million a year. And he said, let me put the presidential aspirations to bed. If I have to give up my money, it's not happening. Kudos to him, recognizing capitalism. But he has continued to go after the left as to how they don't have anything that they understand and how to do it right. Last month, he told CBS Sunday Morning News, I haven't ruled out a run for 2028. But now he's saying, if I have to give up my money, it's not happening. Not this next time around. Speaking of money, oil prices surging past $110 a barrel over the weekend, topping $100 a barrel for the first time in nearly 4 years. Obviously, the Iran war and us shutting down Iran and the blockades of oil going out of Venezuela to China and everywhere, prices are going up. China has even shut down how much it's exporting to make sure they have what they need. Stock futures were indicating the Dow Jones and NASDAQ would drop off about 2% today. I didn't bother looking at it, but you can look at those to go up and down as you can with the oil prices. The Hormuz closure is now forcing producers across the Gulf to throttle back output. And this is where a nation needs an emergency fuel reserve. And we had something like 700 million barrels until Joe Biden began to siphon it off to win political points in advance of the election when he was running. And I also want you to keep in mind, please, we've had a seventh U.S. service member killed during the Iranian conflict. I don't want to say just seven in the midst of what we're doing, because each one is a life and a family. And one of those who survived was a woman fighter pilot. Her jet got shot down by a surface-to-air missile. She parachuted down to Kuwait, and the Kuwaiti people welcomed her. Keep them all in your prayers. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.